What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Movies Chat. My name is Eric Davis, and as of today, The Avengers has grossed roughly $1.636 billion worldwide. A lot of money. We're a month out from the release, and here comes Warner Brothers and DC. They have made a few announcements. We have a Justice League movie is in the works. We have solo movies for The Flash, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow, which is also a TV show, Shazam, and The Suicide Squad. There's a lot going on. They're talking about rebooting Batman, possibly even rebooting Green Lantern. We have Superman coming out next year. There is a lot to go over. So I brought in two mega experts to chat with me about this today. First, we have Jeffrey Taylor. Jeff is a staff writer, moderator at the Superman homepage. He's also the co-host of the From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, which is available at the Superman homepage. He also writes our Man of Steel countdown at movies.com, and he's the writer and co-creator of the webcomic Slipstream, which you can find at theclockworkcomics.co.uk. I also have Chris Clow, who is a comic book expert and contributor to batmanonfilm.com and Modern Myth Media, and you can find his Dark Knight Rises countdown at movies.com every other week. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
And hello, Jeff.
Hello, hello.
So I brought you guys on because you guys know a lot more than I do when it comes to this stuff. So let's dive right in. Chris, I'll start with you. Out of all of these projects that have been announced, what makes you the most excited?
Actually, the one that probably makes me the most excited is Aquaman, just because it seems like kind of an inspired choice. Aquaman is a property that would be pretty difficult to pull off, but actually, I've been thinking more and more that with the success of the Avengers, that a lot of general movie audiences kind of have the same behaviors as comic book fans. You know, they just see these characters in movies instead of comics. And Aquaman, when it was relaunched last year, sold more than every Marvel title. Wow. And if the concept is there, I think an Aquaman film could be really, really cool.
Why is Aquaman so popular, do you think?
He's probably popular because, well, he's always had a perception of not being a very strong hero. You know, the mass public always generally makes fun of Aquaman, and when the new book came out last year from DC, it kind of took that notion head on and challenged it and showed that he's actually a pretty big badass. And I think that if you tap into the things that people like, and Aquaman has he's a source of a lot of really dynamic imagery. So the movie, if they pull it off right, could be pretty visually striking. So it's a combination of a lot of different factors. I probably couldn't nail down one specific thing that makes him appealing to people, mm-hmm. but if they look at the current book and they look at the history of the character, then it could probably be a really, really interesting film, I think.
Jeff, what about you? What out of this whole stable that they've just announced, what makes you the most excited?
Well, I'm excited about pretty much all of them, except possibly one, but we'll see how that turns out. I do agree that Aquaman is a great property and that it does get much maligned. But the ones that I'm most excited about, I'm torn between The Flash and Shazam, or as he used to be called, Captain Marvel. They made the official name change because Marvel has a Captain Marvel and so on and so forth. But between those two, those are the ones that I am definitely looking forward to the most so far.
Yeah, I like The Suicide Squad. I just think that's it's a cool story there, you know, of these kind of anti-heroes, these supervillains that work kind of covertly to reduce sentences for the government on these crazy black ops missions. Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys know a lot more about this stuff than I do. But just reading a little bit about it, it sounds like a cool property that they can kind of take some of the tone from maybe The Dark Knight Rises, like those films, like a dark and a gritty tone. And it sounds like it could be a really cool movie.
Yes, I agree. And the thing about The Suicide Squad is that a lot of those characters have massive backgrounds that predate The Suicide Squad. And I think that for the film that they would have to not necessarily abandon those, but very much pull them back and just reveal who the characters are. I don't know that they would necessarily even have all the same characters, especially if they are going for realism, because, I mean, there's a magical-based character in there as well, and I don't know how well that would necessarily fit into it without having, you know, Thor's introduction as a film before getting into The Avengers, which did have its own sense of realism as well. But I love the Suicide Squad. I've got every issue of every series, and I've talked to John Ostrander, the writer of it, about it quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. You speak about the way that Marvel's connecting their films, and we should talk about that a little bit, because Warner Brothers and DC, they haven't said how they're going to work this yet. They've announced that they're working on a script for a Justice League movie. They're working on scripts for all of these other films. They don't know what they're going to do with Batman yet. They don't know what they're going to do with Green Lantern yet. And there's a Superman film coming out already next year. Do you think it's smart for them to do what Marvel did and use these films to connect the dots to a Justice League movie, or should they keep them separate? Chris.
I am of the mind personally that they should probably make a shared universe. That concept is now proven and is proven effective. I know that there are parts of the fan community that want to try and keep these separate. Like, for instance, a lot of people that read Batman on film really want to keep Batman out of a Justice League movie. But I think the fact of the matter is that if they make a Justice League movie, then they're going to include Batman. They're going to include all these other characters. And laying the groundwork in solo films leading up to a culmination piece, I think would be really cool. And the characters of DC are generally bigger and broader than those at Marvel. When Marvel characters were really first created, they brought a greater level of realism and emotional understanding to the comic book genre. But DC's characters kind of really lend themselves to broad and big imagery. And if you build on each of that and then culminate in a big Justice League movie, I think that could be really cool, personally.
Yeah, I think it could be cool, too. It's just, where do they go? I mean, the good news for Warner Brothers is that The Dark Knight Rises comes out next month, and that's it. And that's the end of Christopher Nolan's Batman franchise. So where they go from there could tie directly into Justice League. And it's just a question of where do you go from there, and how much do you try to get Christopher Nolan involved in what you're doing? It's funny. I had a conversation last night on Twitter briefly with John Golson, who writes our Spider-Man Countdown. He's also writing our Marvel Studios Countdown. And he said that DC needs a cheerleader. They need a cheerleader like Kevin Feige to kind of champion all of their films and to make sure that it stays true to what the fans want and it entertains the audiences. And I replied to him, Christopher Nolan. But, you know, he said Christopher Nolan, he's a director. He's not like Kevin Feige. He doesn't work at Marvel. But, I mean, is Christopher Nolan the guy that you use as sort of – I said he's more of a presence than a cheerleader. But is this the guy that you kind of use to maybe relaunch some of these franchises in a way that makes them as successful as The Dark Knight was? Jeff, what do you think?
I would have to say no to that, because I do like Christopher Nolan's directing. Memento is one of my all-time favorite films, and The Following, which was one of his first major films, absolutely excellent as well. And he's done something with Batman that's very different. He has essentially taken away a lot of the fantasy and the superhero aspect in favor of realism. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing that, but a lot of these characters, especially, I mean, we have Shazam, we have Aquaman. These are very, very different films. I think that when it comes down to it, the best thing that Warner Brothers can do is tap the talent that they already have over at DC Comics. Having Geoff Johns kind of be their champion would be ideal, especially since he has a huge amount of film behind him as well. He began by working with Richard Donner and then became a comic book writer.
Yeah, and I like Jeff, and he was a champion. I know he was very active when Green Lantern was coming around, and he was very active in kind of championing that film, and it didn't really do well. I mean, the problem that they're having is that aside from Christopher Nolan's Batman franchise, anything else they do is not even coming close to being as successful as The Dark Knight Rises. And I mean, let's look at the solo Marvel films. I'm not saying Marvel did everything right. Some of their solo films weren't as successful as other ones. I enjoyed Iron Man a lot more immensely than I did Thor. I didn't think Iron Man 2 was very successful. So, I mean, where do you go here? I mean, it's just, do you think that they need to take a harder look at how they launch these franchises? Because they're not being very successful. What do you think, Chris?
Well, in regards to Christopher Nolan, I think one of the main reasons that he wouldn't be the right person for a job like that is because when he was asked about whether or not his Batman could be in a Justice League film or whether or not his Batman exists in a world of other superheroes, he said, no, these things need to stand on their own. And that was his approach, and that worked fine.
But that was his Batman. You know,
yeah,
his Batman ends next month.
Right.
And so when you start from the beginning, I mean, look, they just announced Justice League. Does Warner Brothers, if you're Warner Brothers, do you do everything you possibly can to get Christopher Nolan to direct Justice League?
No.
No, probably not. I mean, because it doesn't sound like – if he feels that way about not including Batman in a Justice League movie, even if it is his own story, that might clue in to not really seeing the concept as a workable one from his perspective. So as far as the development of the properties and leading up to a Justice League film, my biggest piece of advice would just be to take your time. Don't rush anything, because when you rush things, that's when things get sloppy and messy and don't work out very well. You know, Green Lantern faced a lot of woes in the latter part of its production because they were kind of rushing through things. They got four writers on the thing, and I think it was really easy to just sort of lose a voice when you have so many different personalities and ideas infusing one film. So I would just say take your time, make sure that you're doing it right, bring in talent from DC, like Jeff said, and just go through it and see if you can find a story that really resonates and is worthy of putting all of these characters on the screen together.
Yeah, and I think tone is everything when it comes to – I think the Marvel movies, especially now that they're with Disney, have really established a tone that says, you know what, we can have a ton of action, but we're really fun movies. We're not too dark. We're not too gritty. You know, the Avengers. There's a lot of really nice character, funny moments in it. So I feel like, you know, I know Mark Millar recently said that he heard the Justice League script was going to be dark and gritty and very real world. And right away I thought, okay, they want to take everything that's the Dark Knight and inject it into all of these other films. But, I mean, is approaching all of these films from a very real world mentality and kind of trying to infuse some of that Dark Knightishness into them, is that a smart move? What do you think, Jeff?
In a way, yes, and in a way, no. It's something that I'm very torn on, because when you go very real world, you sometimes do lose the fantasy aspect of superheroes. Now, if you look back at Superman 1, what Richard Donner was saying that he wanted to have that film portray was verisimilitude. It was a world where, yes, there was a man who could fly, who had super strength and heat vision and X-ray vision, but it was still set in a very real world. And so then you have the villains who are, you know, traditionally either Lex Luthor or Kryptonian in that case. But it's a very tough line to toe, because then you have somebody like Aquaman, where you can make Aquaman very real world and set a lot of it under the sea, of course, which does provide its own not only budget constraints and story constraints, but you can definitely make that real world. You can do the same with Green Arrow. When it comes to Shazam, you have to base that in a world of magic.
Yeah.
And it can still be rough and gritty, especially when you have a villain like Black Adam, who would most likely be the villain for the first film, if there are even other films after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I know you're hot on Aquaman, and I want to see an Aquaman movie too. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it. Do you wait until James Cameron comes out with his avatars to see how he handles all the underwater environments? I don't know, but you know, audiences are tough these days. And, you know, if it just looks a little too cheesy, then they're going to write it off immediately. I think some of that happened with Green Lantern. And I'm curious to see how they even approach Aquaman and what happens now. I mean, we've announced the Justice League. They're already writing the script. So the fact that they're writing this Justice League script, I think it means that they're not going to be launching a bunch of solo movies that are going to be tied to this script. I think that they're writing the script now because they want to make a Justice League movie now.
Well, that was the problem back in 2010 as well, when I think it was George Miller was assigned to direct a Justice League film. There were a number of problems that came along with that that forced it to essentially shut down. But that they're moving forward again, it does sound as though they're doing exactly what they were trying to do back in 2010, which is to start off with a Justice League movie and then spin off other characters, which does lead me to wonder if there will be a new Batman franchise and if the Batman from the Justice League film will have his own films and if they're going to use Henry Cavill. And the big toss-up for me is Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern, because I was one of the people who liked the Green Lantern film, but I also recognized that I went into it pretty much knowing the entire story, and it made it easy for me to follow. In the end, Green Lantern is such a heavy kind of story that his introduction is, no matter how you're going to do it, unless you have a full series of comic books to lay out the groundwork, it's really tough to do that in 2 hours. And I think that's where the film really fails.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult to say with Green Lantern. I mean, I like Ryan Reynolds. I think he's a charismatic guy. I think he's a good actor for that role. But it's just a matter of, what do you do? What kind of contracts do they have with these guys? You would assume that Henry Cavill would take over, but you don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And I'm sorry for all the little beeps and stuff. I have my little cousin is trying to call me. He doesn't understand that I am on a podcast right now. But we'll have to see. I mean, which project do you think is the easiest to screw up here? Chris?
Potentially Superman. And this comes from an enormous Superman fan. You know, I'm actually very, very confident in Man of Steel, but I think Superman Returns, even though all of its problems were pretty apparent, it seems like people perceive Superman as not criticism that I agree with. I got to tell you, but you know, he's your grandfather's superhero. Yeah. People don't think that he has any pathos or emotional complexity, and I don't think any of those things are true. But widespread audiences largely do, and Man of Steel has to get across that this is a complicated guy, that this is a guy that has a very, very good story to be told, and that he is in many cases is the world's greatest hero.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Man of Steel. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, I'd like to get into that a little bit more. Jeff was actually on the set of Man of Steel, and Chris was on the set of Dark Knight Rises. We can't talk about that yet because we're not allowed to talk about it yet. So, but when we are allowed to talk about that, I'm sure Jeff will be able to fill us in on some of the direction that they are going with that film. But I agree. Go ahead, Jeff.
What I can say in response to that is that, from my own personal point of view, as a serious Superman fan, and by serious, I mean I write for the number one Superman website in the world. I write for movies.com about it. I have almost every Superman DVD or in a couple of cases, Blu-ray that's been put out. And I own almost every comic book from 1971 to the present. I'm a huge Superman fan. And
you think so? You think you're a huge Superman fan?
I one time gave a public speaking. Each and my job was to introduce myself, and so I made the topic, I'm the biggest Superman fan that you will ever meet, and that's just true. But it's not necessarily true when you get to the Superman homepage and there are fans who are just as big fans as I am, but that's different. But when it comes to Man of Steel, my expectation is that it's going to try and get into a reality somewhat similar to the Nolanverse, and to create its own reality, again, a sense of verisimilitude. And it is going to be a little bit darker and a bit grittier, and it's going to have a fair amount of action. My honest expectation is that, just like anything else that's Superman, that I'm going to see it and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm also going to be very critical of it from my own personal point of view, where I'm okay with there being a darker world for Superman, but Superman needs to be the bright shining beacon in the middle of it, and that's what really matters. I played around with the idea just sort of in my own head. If there had been a sequel to Superman Returns, if Brainiac had been the villain, how do you begin that, and how do you make that world darker? And a couple of things that I kind of came up with is, first off, have Brainiac's giant ship crash into the ocean, cause a massive tsunami where Superman cannot possibly save everybody, and have that weigh down on him. Have Brainiac do something to Superman's mind and his powers so that he becomes even more powerful, way like super, super duper powerful, so much so that he can't even touch a person without almost killing them.
Yeah.
So how is he going to go about saving people, and have that weigh down on him? You can darken the world. You can even darken the circumstances of the character, but to darken the character of Superman would cause a massive problem. And I don't know if that's something that's going to be happening in the film or not, even after the set
design. I mean, I don't know about you guys, and I want to start wrapping up here, but I'd like to see Batman and Superman in the same movie. I just think that's cool. I'm not as attached to the franchises and where they go. I take everything at face value as it comes, and I judge everything by itself. And if they could make a cool film that has Batman and Superman in it and some of these other characters, and just one film standalone, and I have a fun time watching it, then more power to them. I mean, do you guys agree, Chris?
Yeah, I do. It's really, really important for the characters to stand on their own, even if they do end up making a shared universe out of it, you know. But it's going to be really interesting to see where they take Batman after the Nolan story is over with. And I really hope that that they do pay close attention to these individual stories, if the culmination will be a Justice League film. If there's a solo Justice League film, I personally don't think that's ideal, but if it is a good movie that stands on its own merits, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to be pretty happy.
I agree. Jeff, any parting words?
I agree with that about a Justice League film, or even a Superman-Batman film. It would be really good to see them together. If they do a Superman-Batman film, I would like to see at least guest appearances of Wonder Woman, The Flash, that sort of thing, but that probably wouldn't happen.
Well, I think it would happen in a Justice League movie. I think Justice League would be Batman, Superman.
In a Justice League
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So I think seeing these characters together is fun. It's a cool idea, cool concept.
It is, but of the list of films that we're looking at, the one that I'm least looking forward to is Lobo, and that's because I have to imagine it will be on par with the movie Steel with Shaq, or Catwoman with Halle Berry. And I just don't really care for the character, and maybe they will do something cool and interesting. I will probably see it if it comes out. But the big thing that I think we really need to take away from this is that we've been here before, that with these kinds of movies being announced, that they have been announced before and they have not come to fruition. So I'm going with the fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me idea, where Batman has gone through 20 versions of scripts that have not come to fruition. Yeah. Superman, almost as many, and even bigger stories when it comes down to it. And so it really is a wait and see kind of thing. I hope that it's actually happening this time, but I'm not going
to
hold my breath.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, you want them to get it right. So take your time. Between Marvel and Superman, between all this nonsense, we have enough superhero films coming out over the next few years to keep us busy. We're not asking DC and Warner Brothers to rush out your films. It's nice to see that they're working on them. I'm sure they are taking their time and they want to get it right. And if they do that, then I will wait longer to see them get it right. And hopefully they will get it right. Guys, Chris and Jeff, I want to do this again because you guys know so much about this stuff. And as these DC films develop, maybe we can kind of get together every once in a while and talk about this. And Chris, I'll have you back closer to The Dark Knight Rises, because we have a lot to talk about in that area. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and I hope you have a very good weekend.
You too, Eric. Thank you.
Take care.